Krishnaya Prayana Bhimakam Krishnam
Yamadhyasati.
Brahma Tejaha, the radiation of the Brahmastra. Vinir Muktahai, being saved from. Atma Jai, along with her sons. Saha, with. Krishnaya, Draupadi. Prayana, ongoing. Abhimukham, towards. Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna. Idam, this. Aha, said. Prita, Kunti. Sati, chaste. Devoted to the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Thus, saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi, addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Purport. Kunti is described herein as Sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not, therefore, look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Kunti Devi is here described as chaste. And, you know, the concept of chastity in this connection can be understood in two ways. One is, you know, the chastity of a woman in terms of her relationship with the opposite sex. Of course, for men, there's the concept of brahmacharya or celibacy, proper dealings with the opposite sex. But chastity can refer to the faithfulness of a wife to her husband. And, you know, this comes up many times throughout the Vedic literature. We don't have any really good conception today of the degree of chastity which some of these great personalities in the Vedic literature displayed. I was reading over the story of King Prithu and his wife Archie, which comes up later in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prithu was a great king. Of course, there was this very bad king named Venu, who was acting in a very demoniac way towards the citizens. So he was removed from his position and killed, actually, by the brahmanas. In society, it was the duty of the brahmanas to make sure that the rulers were following the principles of religion. And when they weren't, they were so powerful, they were able to remove them by the power of their mantras and their spiritual potency. So from the body of this King Venu, they churned it, and from the churning there came out, you could say, the personification of the bad influences that were in his body. They manifested as a short, dark, demoniac-looking creature. But then also there came out from the churning Maharaj Prithu, who is a divine incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he had his wife Archie also. And he ruled the kingdom in a very good way for many years, but then following the Vedic system, at a certain point he renounced his position of power and opulence and went to the forest to meditate and prepare to leave his body. And it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that his wife Archie accompanied him into the forest, and together they performed austerities, and the king engaged in yogic meditation and gradually freed the soul from contact with the bodily senses and all the material elements. In that age, there was a system of meditation and yoga that great yogis and great devotees could follow to do that and deliberately leave their material bodies. So Prithu Maharaj did that, and when, you know, it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Archie, his wife, detected that his body was no longer living and that the soul had departed, you know, she made some funeral pyre, lit the fire, and then entered it. So, you know, there were examples during the Vedic times of wives who were so chaste and devoted to their husbands that for them the idea of living without their husband was so painful that they would enter the fire, and that is sometimes called the sati rite or sahagamana, leaving with the husband. Of course, it's not something to be imitated, but you know, Srila Prabhupada recounts that even in his own lifetime, in 1940, as late as 1940, he saw something. He saw a chaste wife enter the fire of her husband. Of course, now the cremations are performed and not as they were in ancient days, so it would be a little difficult anyways. But it's not something to be imitated today, but you know, the example is given, you know, just how chaste some of these personalities were. And of course, given that, sometimes people ask, well, then how were the gopis able to go and dance with Krishna in the forest at night? Actually, even Krishna himself at first told them, you know, according to the principles of chastity, you should be home with your husbands, not coming out to the forest to see me. Of course, the principle on the level of ordinary religious principles and dharma, that was correct, you know, that they shouldn't have been like that. But on the higher principle of understanding that actually Krishna is the only husband of all women in the universe, you know, he's the only object of love, the only permanent object of love and devotion for everyone, including all women. On that principle, that was a higher principle of chastity, you know, to be so devoted to Lord Krishna that they were willing to surrender everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, they're famous for that kind of chastity. And among all of the gopis, Radharani is the supreme, the topmost, in terms of her chastity, in terms of her pure loving devotion and surrender to Lord Krishna. And, you know, in his conversation with Ramananda Roy, told Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya was asking him so many questions about spiritual life, including the nature of the love of the gopis for Krishna. And in that context, Ramananda Roy was explaining that there's this lady Arundhati, the wife of the sage Vasishta. She was known as being the most chaste of all the wives of all the sages. But he told Lord Chaitanya, even she takes lessons in chastity from Radharani. There was also a case when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India. He came to a place called Ranga Chetra, or Sri Rangam. You know, there's a big Vishnu temple there, Lord Ranganath. And he stayed there for some time. And he met a Brahmin there named Venkata Bhatta. And he had some conversations with this Brahmana. Of course, this Brahmana was a member of the Sri Sampradaya, the Lakshmi Sampradaya. There are many lines of disciplic succession. We are members of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Sampradaya or disciplic succession that comes from Lord Brahma. But there's another Sampradaya that comes from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and another from Shiva, the Rudra Sampradaya, and another from the four sages, the Kumaras, the Kumara Sampradaya. So this Brahman Venkata Bhatta was a member of the Sri or Lakshmi Sampradaya. And mostly they're worshiping Lakshmi and Narayan. You know, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete chamsa kalapumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, the Srimad Bhagavatam states. Among all the different forms and expansions of Krishna that come to this world and their different avatars or incarnations, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the others are expansions from him. So one expansion from Krishna is his forearm form as Narayan. And there are many forms of Narayan, but they are worshipped in a mood of awe and reverence. But Krishna is worshipped in a mood of spontaneous loving devotion. Krishna is the object of love for the cowherd boys and cowherd girls, the cowherd men and women, the cows, animals, trees, forests, rivers of Vrindavan. But they don't understand he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're simply attracted to him spontaneously by pure love and devotion. Whereas the Narayan form is worshipped by devotees in the mood of awe and reverence. And they understand this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the consort of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan is Srimati Radharani, and the consort of Lord Narayan is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. But Lord Chaitanya was explaining to Venkata Bhatta that sometimes your Lakshmi, your goddess of fortune, desires to enter the rasa dance of Lord Krishna. So how is that? You know, your Lakshmi is supposed to be the most chaste of all women. Her husband is Narayan. So what is this? You know, that, you know, she's desiring to engage in pastimes with another man, Lord Krishna. How is that? And Venkata Bhatta took a very humble position. He says, look, I'm just an ordinary jiva. I'm an ordinary fallen conditioned soul. I don't understand these things very well. But Lord Chaitanya pressed him on it. Come on, explain it to me. So he said, well, we can take it like this, Venkata Bhatta explained. Actually, Narayan is an expansion of Krishna, so they're actually the same in that sense. And actually, that is our philosophy. Simultaneous oneness and difference. So, yes, it's a fact. So, if Lakshmi wants to enjoy with Krishna, that's okay, because Krishna is not different from her husband, Narayan. Then Lord Chaitanya said to him, well, that may be true that Krishna is not different from Narayan, but actually Lakshmi was not able to enter into the rasa dance, you know, despite what you just said. So why is that? And again, Venkata Bhatta was saying, look, I can't penetrate the mysteries of all of this. Maybe you can explain it to me. And Lord Chaitanya explained, in order to enter the rasa dance, one can only do it if one has the transcendental spiritual form of a gopi, one of the cowherd damsels of Vraja. And to get that, you have to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So Lord Chaitanya explained that Lakshmi wanted to enter the rasa dance, not in the form of a gopi, but in her own form as Lakshmi. Therefore, she couldn't do it. Whereas other personalities, like what are called the Shruti Ganas, the personified Vedas, the sages who represented the various forms of the Vedic literature, at one point in history, they desired to also enter the rasa dance, but they worshipped the gopis, they followed in the footsteps of the gopis, they practiced the principles of devotional service, and were eventually able to attain the form of gopis and enter into the rasa dance. so then Lord Chaitanya asked Venkatapata if he was satisfied with that. And Venkatapata said, you understand all these things. I accept whatever you say. And then Lord Chaitanya explained to him that actually your goddess of fortune is non-different from the gopis. Actually, Radharani is the original devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she expands into the different gopis, the goddesses of fortune, the queens of Dwarka. So Lord Chaitanya was explaining in that sense, Lakshmi maintaining her chastity actually experiences the rasa dance with Krishna through the gopis. So, you know, this concept of chastity is very interesting in this way. But the other way in which chastity is being referred to here is in relationship to Kunti, Srila Prabhupada explains, is due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. So she's chaste in that sense. And we should also try to be chaste in that sense. We should be chaste disciples, chaste followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by following His instructions, by following His example, by studying His books very, very carefully. So we should be chaste disciples of Srila Prabhupada. You know, there may be so many others, you know, to whom, you know, we can also offer our respects. You know, just like a chaste wife, she isn't impolite to others, but she reserves her love and affection and most confidential service for her husband. So in the same way, we should be chaste disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and chaste in the sense that, as Srila Prabhupada explains here, a chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others for shelter and protection. You know, people try to protect themselves in so many ways from all different kinds of dangers. Like one of the biggest expenses in the United States is the military, you know, which is there for protection. You know, so we think, yes, we're spending so much on defense. We have our nuclear missiles. We have our Air Force. We have our Army. We have our Navy to protect us and defend us. But ultimately, it can't protect us from the actual real dangers in life. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, Lord Krishna explains. You know, there's birth, death, old age, disease. Who's going to protect you from that? You can spend billions and billions of dollars, you know, making all kinds of arrangements for military, you know, whether, you know, every country is doing it. China, Russia, America, you know, spending so much. But all of the citizens are not being protected by that means from the actual miseries of life. Or we may talk about health insurance, you know, Obamacare or this care or that care. But ultimately, who can say no matter what sort of health insurance or doctor's care they have, that they're not going to become sick, become old, and die. Nothing like that. So therefore, Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Pritya Ja, Mamaikam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papa Ibyo, Mokshiyashami Masajaha. Just surrender unto me. I will give you all protection in all circumstances. But Srila Prabhupada makes an important point here. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. So, although the Lord is the ultimate protector of the devotees, the chaste devotee doesn't ask the Lord for such protection from particular dangers. You know, there's an example of that, the story of King Ambarish. Ambarish was a great devotee of the Lord. In addition to being a great king, it's said of him, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. You know, he was always thinking of Krishna. He was always engaging his words and speaking of Krishna. He was using his legs to walk to the temple, his eyes to see the beautiful form of the deity, his ears to hear the chanting of the Lord's glories, his nose to smell the incense and flowers offered to the deity. He was engaging his mind and all of his senses in devotional service. Yet, he made some little mistake in his dealings with the sage Durvasa Muni. And therefore, Durvasa Muni decided to curse him, and he created a big demon by his mystic power. And this demon was going to attack King Ambarish. But Ambarish just stood there, and without him asking for it, Krishna immediately manifested his Sudarshan Chakra and destroyed the demon that was going to attack him. So in this purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains again this point that the devotee, although dependent completely on the Supreme Lord, doesn't ask the Lord for favors or protection. It's just automatically there. Just like when you get a credit card, you may not know, but you know, you've got different forms of insurance and protection that are there just because you've got the credit card. So Srila Prabhupada explains that just by taking up the process of devotional service, when Krishna sees that, he automatically guarantees that devotee his protection, even without asking for it. And Krishna is competent to do it. You know, sometimes we may think we have a friend, but you know, we hear the concept, fair-weather friends. Or sometimes you're in a difficult situation and you actually see who your friends really are. But ultimately, our only friend is Krishna. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the friend of everyone dwelling in the heart. The only friend. Because, you know, we may ask, does our friend really care for us? And sometimes we find out, or we think, is our friend really capable of helping me? Sometimes people ask me, can I help you? And I say, can you? If you can, Krishna really is the friend. He's not a false friend, or a superficial friend, a fair-weather friend. He's the real friend of every soul. And he is capable of helping. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's actually got the resources to help us. But as has been explained in previous classes, the real help is protection on the spiritual level, ultimately. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, Krishna reciprocates according to the level of surrender of the devotee. Yayatam prapadyante tam stativa bhajamyaham. So we should try to come to the level of pure devotional service and get the full protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll stop there. Any comment? Swavas Prabhu? Yes, because Srila Prabhupada authorized that. And, you know, there, as in the case of many topics in Krishna consciousness, there are different angles of vision that can be taken. I was giving one angle of vision here because that's the angle Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing in the purport. But in other places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we do see that, you know, devotees do pray to Krishna for protection. But when Prahlad was offering his prayers and, you know, in response to the benediction, I mean, one of the prayers that devotees give is that you destroy within my heart, you know, my sinful tendencies. Pray to Nrisimhadeva like that. So that's another example. But, you know, it said, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udari di tivrena bhakti yoga na yajeta purusha pramant. It's, you know, whatever one's motive is, you know, one should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether you don't have any desires, you just want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or you do have some desire for personal protection or salvation, it's best to go to the Lord, best to approach the Lord rather than some demigod or materialistic person in this world. So it's better if one is going to pray in that way rather than just for pure devotional service or whatever, then it's best to go to the Supreme Lord for that than someone else. Archita?
It seems, thank you for the class, Prabhu. It seems a little confusing to use Draupadi as the example because she did ask for protection by throwing up her hands and saying, hey,
this is Kunti.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. But no, she's, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, it's Kunti. We're talking about Kunti here.
Okay, anybody here? Yes. Oh, excuse me. Absolutely. Thank you very much. So I think I said Venu, but the king is Vena. Thanks for that correction.
Venu is a very good term.
Okay, we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.